following A2A one-on-one feature is a production of the nonprofit Adversity to Advocacy Alliance. The views and opinions expressed by our guests do not necessarily reflect those of A2A or advocates, allies, or ally organizations. We hope you'll find this interview both informative and inspiring. And now, here's our host, Liz St. John.
Ron Bauer has been a professional psychotherapist for over 25 years. He specializes in systems and strategic work for individuals, businesses, and organizations. He's had a successful career and lived a fairly normal life, despite having had seizures from the age of 3. This disability has continued throughout his life, and although he was successful, continues to be successful and popular, has friends, the patterns, psychological pain, not to mention the systemic issues which interfered in daily life, were at times very difficult. Ron recently decided to make a difference through speaking, writing, training, and however else he can help make a difference in people's lives. Hey, Ron, thank you for joining us today.
Nice to be here.
Tell me about the start of the seizures. What happened? I know you were very young. What did your parents do?
Well, it's a really good question because I was 3 years old, and at the time, I just remember being afraid, and I would be at the doctor's office and not really sure what was going on. One of the interesting things is that I think my parents were just as scared as I was. None of us knew what to do, so a big part of that was just all of us trying to figure it out together. And it wasn't until I had my second seizure at 6 that I was actually diagnosed with epilepsy.
So between 3 and 6, all was quiet?
Pretty much, yeah. I didn't have that many seizures, which I think was helpful. But the thing about it is, even though there weren't seizures, systemically the epilepsy, guilt, shame, things that hung over your head played out by parental expectations or people just not knowing what to do.
Was someone telling you, hey, don't tell your friends at school, they might be frightened about you, don't tell anyone, just keep it quiet, just manage this?
No one said that directly, but when you have epilepsy, one of the most difficult things is that you're telling yourself that. So whether it's in sports or whether it is in a relationship or even as a kid, I can remember thinking, what if somebody finds out I have epilepsy? And that's one thing I don't think people get. You at nighttime or whenever it might be, you have that thought, or I had that thought of, I have epilepsy and I'm different. No one was actually telling me that except by not talking. We had a no-talk rule about it in our family.
As you got older, what coping mechanisms did you use in relation to the epilepsy? And did the seizures start becoming more frequent?
I used avoidance, and I used, because I was athletic and because I could push through things, and I was basically became indestructible. That was one strategy that I used. The other strategy was to turn off who I was, to hide my identity. In terms of what the family would do, again, we were all very good at just acting like there was not an issue. So because I didn't have a lot of seizures when I was younger, it wasn't, or apparently didn't seem as though it was a big issue, because in a lot of ways it wasn't.
When did you find that you really had to be managing these seizures more often, or managing this whole situation on a day-to-day basis? Or was it managing because you never knew when it would pop up?
one of those things is that, no, you don't know when it's going to pop up. You know, it's sort of like with epilepsy, you can be feeling really, really good about, hey, I haven't had a seizure in a while. And then all of a sudden you have a seizure, and it kind of does like a reset. And you have those feelings of, oh my gosh, I feel bad about myself. I did something that I didn't think I was going to have. I thought I would never have a seizure again. And that's one of the things that plays out. And in terms of what I did and how I coped with it, is that I took medication, and that seemed to alleviate the seizures pretty much throughout my childhood.
The long-lasting psychological effects that one might have after you tell yourself, uh-oh, I'm different or less than or not as good as, what is that long-term?
That's huge, because at that point in time, you learn to hide who you really, really, really are, your identity. you know, being our identity is what we think, what we feel, how we respond, how we put ourselves out there. Well, what I learned was to not talk about what I think or feel or put myself out there. And even though I was popular and I had a lot going for me, I learned to shut down. You know, my part of my journey was to look good and to not express who I was or who I truly was in my heart. So in a lot of ways, what I learned to do, Liz, was to think backwards. Don't trust who I was, but do what I think other people wanted me to do.
To please everyone else.
Yeah. And, you know, I didn't even know I was doing it because it was just my go-to. And the thing was that as I got older and there were more responsibilities and more things in life, it became more and more difficult to do.
Was there one moment in time where you just said enough? That's enough of pretending to be someone else or trying to make everyone else happy. Now I'm moving forward. I'll let everyone know who I am and I will start living my life. Did that happen in a moment, something pivotal, or was it a gradual evolution?
What happened in and out, if I was playing sports, I was doing something that I felt really good about, that I would come out a little bit and I would start to trust myself a little bit, but it didn't take much for me to go back into the survival mode. So I never really came out of it, but to answer your question, I was always aware that there was a good guy inside. You know, I was always aware that I had a lot of value and I had a lot of gifts, but I didn't necessarily trust, because I lost the ability to trust, I think, putting them out there.
And how did you gain that trust back in yourself and start living full-time you?
I think, Liz, that was quite a process, and I think it happened a little bit at a time, but it took a long time because I did have epilepsy at age 3. It kind of imprinted my ability to think or to grow, and so in a lot of different ways, I really was trapped at an age 3 mindset, and I would say that it didn't happen until much later. Even just a couple of years ago, where I realized that I had to change and do something different because I got really good at hiding.
So you decided, okay, that's enough. I'm not going to hide anymore. I'm going to, even though you'd been aware of this as the years were rolling by, so then how do you make that switch? Is it like every day you have to remind yourself, okay, wait a minute, it's me. It's me. I have to be me.
Well, I wish it was that easy. I was one of these people who I realized that, and I'd spent a lot of time, most of my work focusing on identity and helping people with their identity. Yet it took me having to go through even a more difficult process in order to make that decision that I have to live from who I am. And what that meant to me is, and I'd known it for a long time, is that one day I would be speaking about epilepsy and really making a difference in this world. However, a very important thing that I came to realize is because I learned to think backwards, I sought out negative relationships. And it came down to a working environment where it was highly toxic. But because of my thinking patterns, I stepped into it and tried to make it work. And unfortunately, it was 5 years of toxic abuse. It was not good. I learned to shut down, and it wasn't good. But after several years of doing that, I realized I can't do this anymore. I can't live this way, and I need to be able to believe in who I am and start to find healthy friends. And then as I was doing that and I started my speaking career, I realized that it's time. You know, it's time to help people. I don't want anyone to go through what I've been through if I can help them at an early age in their lives.
So turning your adversity into advocacy, how does that make you feel? Is it part of your healing process?
I would definitely say that's true. I've going to be speaking for the Epilepsy Foundation here in June, And that's really exciting for me. And it's part of my healing process, because I think, Liz, it's always been in the back of my mind. And now I don't care, kind of thing. You know, I don't want to go through any more pain. And so I think talking about it and reaching out is going to be, or is, very healing for me.
It's interesting, as I interview different people for our one-on-one series, that seems to be a common denominator. People get sick and tired of themselves, or just exhausted from trying to manage whatever their challenge is in a non-productive way. And a lot of times it seems like that they want to, you know, they think they have to hide, or they're embarrassed by this, or they think people will think less of them. And when they finally say, you know what, here's who I am, take it or leave it, this is who I am, and let me tell other people so they don't have to go through what I'm going through. And it is a sense of freedom and relief and excitement. It's like a whole new world.
Right, right. And the irony is, when you step into that, people don't judge you. I mean, that's more of our own stuff. People are excited. They want to hear. They like the idea that you have the courage to do that. It gives them courage.
Absolutely. And there's so many people that have big challenges, little challenges, medium challenges. I've yet to meet a person who has no challenges. Everyone's got something.
Not even
going
you?
No, please. And so by watching other people be brave, that might be a word, or to be open and sharing their challenges, people can say, oh, maybe others won't judge me because of my fill in the blank, whatever is there. So you're embarking on this new chapter of speaking and helping others. What words of advice do you have for others who have epilepsy or any other challenges?
Yeah, my words of advice are first and foremost to families. And in that, to recognize, parents, that you might be afraid, and that's okay, because that's a reaction that you weren't planning on any more than your child who has seizures. But it is your responsibility to learn about it. It is your responsibility to not be afraid, because that's what your child's going to do. And it's okay to be afraid, but to be proactive with it, because it doesn't matter whether you have a seizure disorder or eating disorder or depression or whatever it might be. When mom and dad are there, the child feels safe. And that in and of itself can be curative for that person. It doesn't matter what the issue is. If they feel loved, then epilepsy is just kind of an afterthought. So the family needs to be educated, I guess, would be my feedback. And that's so freeing for the child and for the family, because epilepsy is a family disorder or disability. It's just like anything else. And if it's a secret, if parents keep it a secret, the child will take on toxic guilt and toxic shame and live a life of being trapped. So parents, go for it, learn about it, love your kid, and let him or her know that they're amazing.
Ron Bauer is a professional psychotherapist, and he is now on his new journey of being a speaker and an advocate, taking his adversity to advocacy. Thank you for sharing your story today, one-on-one.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to A2A One-on-One, an outreach project of the nonprofit Adversity to Advocacy Alliance. To listen to other one-on-one interviews and to learn more about A2A, please visit us online at a2aalliance.org. And thanks for helping us spread the word that we help ourselves by helping others.